2 Timothy 1, 5 through 8. It says to us, sorry, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did, night and day, I continually remember, everybody say remember. Remember you in my prayers. Verse 4, I long to see you again, for I remember, everybody say remember, your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. Verse 5, I remember, everybody say remember, your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you, everybody say remind you, to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Verse 8, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Verse 6 in the Amplified says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the gracious gift of God, that inner fire, the special endowment which is in you through the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. You can cut that fan off if you want. Go ahead. That way he's not bothering anybody. Thank you. So friends, from this four times in this passage, we see Paul by the Holy Spirit uses the form of the verb to remember. Everybody say remember. This should help us and understand that no Christian is an island or to live in independence or isolation in and of themselves. He's saying, Timothy, remember that I'm praying for you every day. Now, some people forget about people throughout the day and forget about their spiritual family throughout the week. But Paul was telling Timothy, remember, I constantly remember you in my prayers. That means every time he's going to the throne of God, he's thinking about his relationship with Timothy. How much time do you utter in prayer, do you utter other people's names? Amen. He said, Paul, I want you to remember, I'm constantly praying for you. He said, I remember your tears when we departed because fear was trying to grip you and get a hold of you. Because at that time, the church was under great trouble. They had bad teachers teaching all kinds of false doctrines and prophetic lies that were causing disruption and division in the church. And at that time, the church had become very unpopular. In other words, the governmental officials decided that the Christians were the problems of the society that they lived in. And so people were under great attack. It kind of segued to that time period when Christians were thrown in prisons, Christians were put in the lion's den to be sported out as, you know, these coliseums, and they put Christians in the middle of the coliseum and let loose lions to go and hungry lions to go and ravage them and tear them up, because the government thought that they caused problems in the city, particularly when the fire was in Rome. So Timothy's scared because there was a lot of problems. But Paul says, I remember your tears. Amen. But he also says, thirdly, I remember your faith. Paul had faith imparted into him through supernatural relationships, meaning his grandmother and then his mother. One of the greatest gifts you can leave your children and grandchildren is your heritage of faith. Some people say, I'm trying to leave them some money. I'm trying to leave them the house. I'm trying to leave them the business. No, that's not the biggest thing. That's a good thing, but that's not the biggest thing you can leave your kids. If you can pass your faith on, that's a big deal. He said, I remember your faith. And you got the same genuine, authentic, non-hypocritical faith in you that was in your grandmother first and then your mother. And it got passed down to you. Amen. Now, why did he say non-hypocritical? That means you're not one way on Sunday. Come on now. And another way on Monday through Saturday. That means you walk the talk and you talk the talk of a faith man, of a faith woman. He said, I want you to remember this. And as we said before, no Christian is an island to themselves or to live independent or isolated by themselves. So some people say, well, my faith is my business. No, it's not. First of all, God gave you that faith for you not to just be just for yourself. You're supposed to share your faith and show your faith to others. Our salvation is personal, but never private. All of God's people stand on the shoulders of those who preceded them. So we honor our forefathers and foremothers who were praying mothers, who were faithful mothers, who were faithful fathers. And Paul was reminding Timothy, remember, this ain't just about you and your pain and your problems. This is about the kingdom. This is about the church. Hallelujah. So we're given these scriptures and life lessons to remind us that Timothy's faith and his fire was imparted through these supernatural relationships, because he told them to stir it up the gift or fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you through my laying on of hands. And we also see Paul so desperately long for Timothy's encouragement and his company. And he focused on the manner we should also focus with our lives. He said he looked upward. He said, I thank my God every time I think about you. Now, I want you to think about that. Take a personal inventory right now. Do you thank God every time you think about me? No, I'm just using me as an object so you don't get offended. But just you thank God. Amen. Do you thank God when you think about someone across the aisle? Now, what Thanksgiving does to your heart is big. Because Thanksgiving keeps your heart open and humbled with honor for that person. Because, see, the first thing sometimes people think about when they think about somebody that's different or difficult to them is they think about something to complain, something to criticize, something to condemn or judge them. Oh, they're this way. Oh. And they think about them, and they all around get discouraged. Here they go again, or here they call again. And you hit mute or hit the, you know, can I talk to you later? Everybody said we should thank God. Now, what helps you? What you when you look upward? Because that helps your perspective on how you see that person. Because when you look up, you see them how God sees them. God doesn't see them as a castaway, an outcast. He sent his son for them. He sent Jesus Christ to shed his blood for them. Come on now. He gave his life for them. God so loved the what world that he gave. Now, he didn't say he loved just the church. He loved the world. He didn't just love the goody two-shoe Christians. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to look upward. Then you got to look outward. Remember you in my prayers. God, you didn't put me here for just me. All this life is just not about me. All this what I'm going through is just not about me. Come on now, it's bigger than me. Everybody say it's bigger than me. So you got to look outward. So I'm saying, well, I just pray by myself. I just want to pray about my own problems. Well, you got to look outwards because other people are also needed. Amen. So the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, gave us some principles that we should, and lessons we need to understand. First lesson is we can't forget the values we've learned. Everybody say, don't forget the values you've learned. Now, some of us have been under good teaching for a minute. A month, a day, days, years. But we forget to value it. And when you forget to value what you've learned, you end up devaluing it. It doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, there's countries that don't even get a Bible, don't have a Bible in their language. They estimate there's over 130 people groups, ethnic people groups on this planet who do not have one page of the Bible in their native language or dialect. Look, we got the app, Bible app, YouVersion app. I got two Bibles up here. We got Bibles on some of these chairs up here or somewhere in the church. You got Bibles all over the place. But do you value it? Are you listening to me? We can't forget the values we've learned. We've got so many advantages in this nation, in this country, and freedoms, but that we don't value. Do we value the church? To invest our time, to invest our talent, to invest our treasure, and to invest our testimony. How Christ has transformed our lives. He tells us here again in 2 Timothy 1:5, I remember your sincere and unqualified faith. Unqualified faith is a faith that says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. I'm yours to command and control. Jesus is Lord. See, qualified faith means I can do it as long as Sally Sue and them can get to their soccer games, their football games, their practices, their schoolwork, their school projects, their band practice. I can show up, Lord, if it's fits within my schedule. You qualify in your faith. I'm too busy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. So I qualify my faith. But what does it say here? The surrendering of your entire self to God in Christ with confident trust in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith which first lived in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I'm confident that is within you as well. That faith that does not have any caveats or conditions with it. Because there's enough faith in this room right in front of me that we can win the whole community for Jesus. Because he said, whether two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Praise God. We get the Lord of glory to come down in the midst of a prayer agreement, and we can take care of business for the kingdom beyond what we can ask or think, because we're doing it in his name and by his authority. But who's going to step up and remember that we got this faith that we can move mountains, we can take care of impossibilities, we can win the increase the kingdom, we can make heaven bigger and the church better? So why are values important to us? Because values guide us. And he's telling us by the Holy Spirit that the value, the high value of faith, we need to put a high value and premium on our genuine, real faith developing and growing. Amen. Why? Because if you're not growing, you're losing ground. I know the year's not over, but if you're not growing, you're losing ground. God never intends you for your faith to get stagnant or your faith to stop. Praise God. For example, we try to solve today's problems with yesterday's faith. Now the world's going to get darker and darker, and things are going to get more difficult. Now you don't necessarily hear that always promoted and preached, but the Bible tells us, the Bible, everybody said the Bible. The Bible says evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. You're going to, breaking news is going to be old news. It's going to be bad news. But what's important for you as a Christian, you got your faith has to grow. Amen. Because you try to solve yesterday, today's problem with yesterday's faith is like eating stale bread and drinking expired milk. Anybody ever ate stale bread and expired milk with that green stuff? You didn't know it had a green spot on it and took a bit out of it. Who spits it out? Who swallows it? Who spits it out? So when we try to solve new problems with old, underdeveloped faith, we put out the fire and fervency and flame with our faith. It's like irrelevant. We're outdated. We're obsolete. Some people say, well, this is as far as I want to go. Now, you remember the story about in the Bible, the story in the Bible about the people of Israel, the tribes of Israel. There's so many tribes that went into the promised land, and then there's ones that stopped on the other side. Now, there was two that were two and a half that stopped on the other side of the river. They didn't even want to cross the river. The Jordan River was representative of a life in the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, being controlled and filled with the Spirit, being under the control of the Holy Spirit in your regular, consistent daily lifestyle, being spiritual and not carnal. And so two and a half tribes says, we're not going to go there. We're stopping on this side. And then when they went to the other side, there was another maybe three tribes that said, we're not going either. We're not going to fight. Well, what was that indicative of? Their faith. They didn't want to go forward. They wanted to settle. We're going to stop right here. We got enough. We got enough to pay our bills. We got enough clothes, cars, cash, cribs, comfort, our career. That's enough. But God said, no, no, there's more. Your faith's got to keep growing. You know, there was scholars agree, you know, there's only about four tribes that really finished fulfilling the promised land. You're talking about seven and a half tribes stopped short. Why? Because you'll only go as far as your faith will take you. Oh, that's powerful. You only go as far as your faith will take you. So here's how it looks in today's contemporary life. You got your family. That's your faith first faith project. Your family. So you got your family, and God says, I want you to use your faith one by one to see their family members come into the kingdom. Serve God, love God, and live for God. But some people say, well, I'm just going to settle here. Because as long as we get along and as long as I can tolerate them, I'll put up with a little bit of ungodliness. I'll put up with them. And, you know, they're on their way to a bad place. And your faith is there lying dormant. But can't you hear Paul by the Holy Spirit screaming to us saying, you've got to value your faith. You've got to value your faith. Amen. Y'all here? Y'all going home already? That's why we're so big on reading the Bible. Feeding the Bible. Listening to faith-filled messages. That's why I text you the message. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Having heard is like stale bread and spired milk. You got to have fresh faith for a fresh week. Amen? You can't depend on yesterday's bread and yesterday's milk. You got to have today's faith for today's problems. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so we said we got to listen to. So I'm more interested in what you're feeding than just reading. Because some people, the Bible doesn't say faith comes by reading. And you can read all the stuff, but you're just going to get intellectual stimulation. But reading should be read out loud because faith comes by hearing. What's going into your ears? What's feeding your faith? Who's feeding your faith? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because faith will work for anybody and will work on anything. If your faith is not growing, you should be really concerned. Hallelujah. So our values come from the examples that have set before us, the lessons we've learned, the experiences we've had. We see these women, his mother and grandmother, instilled in Timothy foundational values that Paul determined commendable before God. Timothy's relationship with his mother and grandmother was more than just a relation, was more than relational. It was ordained and ministerial. Your first ministry is your family. Now, it troubles me that when people don't pray and stop praying for their unsaved or unchurched family members. Why aren't they on your prayer list? Why aren't they a part of your prayer life? Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's our first outreach, is Jerusalem, which is our family, immediate family and friends. Everybody's a candidate for prayer and your faith if they're not saved, if they're not churched. You see, as a church family, we must decide to stop just doing and going to church, although it's good, but we must stir ourselves up to be the church. Amen. And build the church. Amen. See, just doing church and going to church is like having an aquarium. Anybody got an aquarium here? Nobody likes aquariums, I guess. But everybody knows it's a good aquarium. It's like a fishbowl. So it's like me as the pastor. A pastor, you're just like feeding the aquarium. Put the little food in there, fish food in there. Amen. And so instead we must decide and devote ourselves to each to catch some fish. Because some people just want to be a fish. Just feed me. Let me stay in this little bubble called I go to church and I do church. But I missed the real big opportunity to be the church and build the church. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. See, as aquarium feeders, we're not just a Christian club. But we're supposed to be thinking about the people. And we're supposed to be reminded that we have faith to take care of that project. You walk into a new job, you walk into work, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to trust me to lead this person, this person, this person, that person to the into the kingdom. Okay, how do I do it, Lord? Because Jesus is the way, but the Holy Spirit is the how. How do you do it? I want you to do this with this person. I want you to do this with this person. I want you to say this to that person. I want you to plant seed. I want you to water seed. And me as God will get the increase. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, if your faith is flatlined, then God can't use you. Amen. See, as an internal guidance system is required, this value system to serve and sow with courage and fierce confidence. See, our core values shape and impact our culture. Culture is more powerful than vision. Many opportunities to compromise our values will come up along our journey. Each week, we all have opportunities to pass up that compromise our faith. When we should have released our faith, you worked our faith, used our faith that day, we compromised. I know the Lord told me, this is just me, so you don't have to get offended, but he told me, he said, don't let a week go by without inviting somebody to church. He said, I want you to keep stuff in your car so you can lead people and give people some materials in their hands if you pray with them or talk to them about Christ. I want you to be ready at all times. And I walk in to some appointments or things that I have throughout the week, and the Holy Spirit says, don't forget that pamphlet. I said, okay, Lord, this is an opportunity. And sure enough, during that appointment, the door opens up for me to introduce them to Christ. But see, if your faith is flat, if you're not stirred up in the gift of God in you, you won't serve because you won't be courageous. You'll be fearful to step out or step up when God says, now's the time. Share your faith. Are y'all here with me today? See, many opportunities to complain and become critical and cynical along the way. Now, if you just take inventory of your last week, what did you complain about? Amen. Complaining, like we said before, if you complain, you'll remain. But if you praise, you'll raise. And if you wake up complaining and being critical or cynical, you absolutely bankrupt your faith. Amen. Many occasions you're tempted to be complacent in our faith, and with our faith will come up. faith is like exercise and eating and exercising. So just think about it. If you don't eat physically, by next Sunday, we're going to tell that you're starving. You don't eat something all week long. Amen. So my pastor always told me, he said, every day you should be using your faith. So as you go back and look at last week or this last month so far, all the way up to today, the 18th of September, how much have you used your faith for? What did you use your faith on? You can't use your faith and not know it. Y'all getting something out of this? Because, see, complacency is where you've lost your press. It's where life is maintained by your own hand without God's hand or help. I'll say it again. Complacency is where you lost your press. See, faith is important, so invaluable for you, and the only sign that you're in faith, the first sign you're in faith, is discomfort, where you're uncomfortable. But many people like to retire or get comfortable with their faith. They'd like to put their faith on retirement. You're on an early retirement plan. I don't have to use you anymore because I got all I need. I'm comfortable. In America, we like comfort. We like conveniences. But the first sign you're in faith is when you're uncomfortable. Like the man of God who was told, all right, I'm going to get you out of debt, but this is what you got to do. He said, number one, he said, you got to put the church's bills right up next to your bills. That means I want you believing me to pay off the church's bills just as much as your bills. Now, some people don't like that because they say, wait a minute, that's not my problem. Yes, it is. If you're in the household of faith, your faith is a big deal. So he said, I'll get you out of debt. Now, he was in big, big debt at that time. What we would equate to today, close to $500,000 in debt, head over heels in debt. He said his debts owed debts. He said he was not up to his eyeballs. He was underwater in debt. But God got him out in 9 months. Because he said, what's the rent here? What's the light bill here? And he went to God with it. Lord, I'm praying for this bill at the church just as hard and just as focused with his faith than his bills on his own bank account. I mean, upon his own house. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, complacency is where you lost your press. You stop believing God for the better, the bigger. I don't just want to win one person a year, Lord. I want to win 10 people a year to Christ. I just want to run around in an old jalopy, run down, broken down car. I want to trust you for a new car, a bigger car. I was like, oh. No, you're using your faith. Why? Because I'm going to be driving people to church. And I want to tell them when they get in the car, look what the Lord has done. Somebody say, glory to God. Look at what God did. You know, driving a car with the McDonald wrappers all in there from 2 weeks ago. Well, praise the Lord. Complacent people never become people God created and called them to be and become because they laid it down. He said, I want you to remember your faith. Revalue your faith and stir it up. See, values are a necessity, and not an option. Unless you serve and sow with a godly value system that's non-negotiable and a solid moral foundation, you turn your teammates and your fellow brothers and sisters and followers in Christ followers into crash dummies. Anybody seen those commercials with crash dummies? You just drive. Where are you going? Where are you going with your faith? And you got me on board? And I'm all padded up and look like a crash dummy, and we just run right into the wall. If you don't have a value system that's morally, has a moral foundation, what do you believe in God for? Because your faith is connected to our corporate faith. Amen. Amen. That's why Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is exhorting and expounding us that we need real value and virtue with our faith and with our faithfulness. Pure faith, purposeful faith, powerful faith, faithfulness. Now he transitions to verse 6 and he says, 2 Timothy 1, 6, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Now here's the second lesson. The second and last lesson I'm giving you today. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gifts you've been given. Some of you have mercy gifts. Because there are a lot of people in need. But it's lying there dormant. Some of you have giving gifts. And you're supposed to be in a ministry of distribution. That means God has anointed your hands and your spiritual ability to make and produce wealth and get money. And you stopped stirring up the gift. See, the gift makes room for you. Amen? The gift is what's supposed to be growing and you're supposed to be flowing in. So some people get frustrated and say, well, you know, I got the ability to make money, but then that money has a purpose. You're supposed to be a big donor and a distributor. There's a ministry of distribution that needs to be picked up. Amen. There's people that have a hospitality gift. You can cook real good. You can serve real good. You can host real good. You can entertain real good. But you just stop. I don't want to be bothered with folks. Too much trouble. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God inside of you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Some people can teach. I mean, we need more teachers in the children. We need teachers for the youth. But the gift of God needs to be stirred up. Amen. Amen. The gift. Everybody say, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Again, gifts, the divine enabling and power endowments or endowments that build upon and bolster natural talents. It ministers through the individual personalities to accomplish what God, a God-given purpose. In other words, God gave us all something special. Everybody say, I've been given something special. And our passion ignites us. Let's look at Romans 12:11 in the Passion Translation. Then we're looking at the Amplified. Romans 12:11. I think I got it right here. I'm going to read it off here. Let's all read this. Let's all read that together. Can everybody see it? Ready? Read. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve. Praise God. Now, you just don't serve him between 10:30 and 12 on Sunday. You serve him 24/7, 365. So you should be boiling hot at work, if you work. Boiling hot in your business. This is my assignment for God. This is my alignment for God. And you're going in there enthusiastic. Every day you're driving into that place of business or that place of work. You're saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I rejoice and be glad. This is another opportunity for you to get the glory out of my life, Lord. This is another opportunity to serve your will and purpose in my life, to fulfill your plan in my work week. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is another opportunity for my faith to grow and my faith to show show Christ and share Christ. Amen. So you're going in there excited, not going in there mully grubs. You're not coming into church mully grubs. Hallelujah. Miserable. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at an Amplified. never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be what? Aglow and burning with what? Serving the Lord. Are you burning? Are you a flamethrower? Is there a fire? Hallelujah. See, Timothy had a gift that was imparted through the laying on of hands, and he was just letting that lie dormant and inactive. If you don't use your faith, you're going to yield to fear. Because God has not given us what? A spirit of fear. But of what kind of spirit? Everybody say power, love, sound mind. Power is courage. Love is compassion. Sound mind is control or self-control. So too often we have a tendency to esteem the gifts that are others more than the gifts we ourselves possess. So there tends to be a poisonous or delusional danger of fantasy sports. Now, there's nothing wrong with them, but you can get so caught up into it where you're idolizing and fantasizing famous, charismatic, or iconic people. That's why the reality shows are so big. That's why people follow and watch superstars. Their social media following and fan club is huge. Because everybody is looking at them because they're famous. But God's not looking for the famous. He's looking for the faithful. Amen. And so we often, as Christians or church members, we see others' gifts more valuable or more supernatural, more powerful. And this disables and deactivates and de-esteems the divine abilities and endowments God put in you. Everybody say, I got something special from God. See, it causes us to be ashamed to witness. It incapacitated us so that we're not willing to work. And when you're not willing to witness or work, your faith is flatline. It causes you not to step up and pray for people in your sphere of influence, or never operate in holy boldness or fearless confidence for God. We somehow think the only super gifted or the pastors can only pray about this hard thing or deal with this difficult dilemma. I remember a lady gave this testimony. She said every morning she'd walk down her street. She'd make it a point, you know, as part of exercise, to walk around her neighborhood. But she got to know everybody in her neighborhood. Now, there's an app even now, All-American app, where you can write down the address in your neighborhood. It has a map, and you can put their names of people in the house, and you can get an alert every day to pray for them. But she did that. She walked around the neighborhood and prayed. Every time she walked by the house, prayed, claimed their salvation. Next thing she knew, by the end of the year, she had won 19 of her neighbors to Christ just by taking a walk every day and praying over that house. And they began to see her. And then after that, people start coming to her house. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for this person? Can you pray? And it opened up a whole ministry for her. Come on, there. But somebody say, stir up the gift of God in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, we are to focus on our gifts rather than our weaknesses. How do you do that? You stir it up. By reigniting your passion. You can never be a laborer in the kingdom or a leader in the kingdom or even the person God wants you to be if you're so caught up and preoccupied wishing you were like somebody else. Who are you? God made you for such a time as this. God has you here for such a season and for this hour for you to rise up in faith. Somebody say glory to God. So God's given us all the grace to do what we need to do. Come on, stand to your feet right now with me. Praise God. Just thank God. Thank God for the gift of God in you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift.